ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः इवन इफ वी नो द मीनिंग्स ऑफ शांति मंत्र शांति पाठ वेरी वेल दिस आई नो नो व्हेन यू चांट वी शुड बी विद द वर्ड्स We should try to see the meanings, which means we are praying. Either the Shanti Pata must be effective, means we must be with every word what we are chanting. Mind should not go elsewhere. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केनेषितां वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुस्तोत्रं कौ देवो युनक्ति श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनः यद्वाचोह वाचं सौ प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुः अतिमुच्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकादमृता भवन्ति न तत्र चक्षुर्गच्छति न वा गच्छति नो मनः न विद्मः न विजानीमः यथैतदनुशिष्यात् अन्यदेव तद् विदिताद् अथो अविदितादधि इति शुश्रुम पूर्वेषाम् येनस्तद्व्याच चक्षिरे सी सम बुक्स प्रेजेंट इज थर्ड एंड फोर्थ मंत्रास एज वन मंत्र सम बुक्स प्रेजेंट एज टू डिफरेंट मंत्रास एनीवे वी हैव कॉट बोथ यद्वाचा अनभ्युदितम् यद्वाचा अनभ्युदितम् येन वागभ्युद्यते तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि Nedam yadidam upasate.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Yanmanasana manute.
Yanmanasana manute.
Yenahurmanomatam.
Yenahurmanomatam.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate. Yachakshushana pashyati.
Yena
chakshugumsi pashyati.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate. Yachrotrena Nashrunoti
Nashrunoti
Yena Shrotramidam Shrutam
Yena Shrotramidam Shrutam
Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi
Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi
Nedam Yadidam Upasate
Nedam Yadidam Upasate
Yat Pranena Praniti
Yat Pranena
Yena pranav praniyate.
Yena pranav praniyate.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
So now these mantras, the subject is hidden, implied. Yachrotrena shrunoti. Yen manasa manate, everywhere we have to include subject. Nan nakopi purushaha. There's no person who really perceives Atma through any of the sense organs. So that subject is implied there. Okay? Anyway. Today, let me start with the, before I enter into the second section, the last mantra, Yat pranena praniti, pranena praniti, yena pranav praniyate, Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
Nedam yadidam upasate.
So here, yat pranena praniti. This mantra I have covered already yesterday, but I wanted to make it much clearer. In all these mantras where that pratyagatma, the truth obtaining as the innermost self, essential nature of the individual, obtaining as the swarupam of the knower, is consciousness implied by the term Atma, and that consciousness is actually Brahma. There is no other vastu which is implied by the word Brahma. The word Brahma also implies the same reality, consciousness. It's made clear. But here, the yat pranena praniti, that yat, you come across every mantra begins within some mantras. From fourth mantra onwards, every mantra begins with the yat. That pronoun actually indicates the swarupam, Atma swarupam. So none, no person, no human being, nobody perceives, sees, hears, listens, smells the Atma through any of the sense organs. The subject is implied. Na kopi purushaha. Everywhere that the subject is implied. And here, the word pranena praniti, it has been made very clear already that Atma is not object of perception. Atma cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs. Atma is also not an object of action. That's very clear. So, Atma cannot be described by words also. That's very clear. Now, the knowledge, the sense organs have been covered already. Even the organs of actions have been covered already. The word prana came in the very beginning. So again, the word pranaha, even though literally it means, the word prana has three different meanings. Prana stands for five physiological functions. And prana also means any one of the sense organs. Any one of the sense organs also is meant by the word pranaha, as mentioned in Mundaka Upanishad. And another meaning of the word pranaha is five pranas, five physiological functions. The third meaning is, here Shankaracharya gives, pranaha, he takes it as grana pranaha. Why he takes that way? Granam means power of smelling. Indriyam. Grana indriyam. Because even to smell, we need to breathe in. Is it? Smelling involves breathing in. Isn't it? Therefore, he takes it that way. So, if you take the other meaning, so the no one perceives Atma through the power of smelling. It means Atma is not something like any object which is smelled through the nose. Atma is not an object of perception. Just to repeat that, emphasize that fact again, it is repeated. And Atma is that. What is Atma then? If Atma is not an object of perception, perceived through the organ of smelling, then what is Atma then? Atma is that by which, because of which, the power of smelling functions as power of smelling. Yena pranaha praniyate. And it is that Atma, who is this here? The one who smells. The one who is involved in the function of smelling, the subject of the function of smelling is Atma. You can say, I am. And that you, the one who smells, because of whose presence the function of smelling is possible, is Atma. That is made very clear. And that Atma is Brahma. So you are equated to Brahma in every mantra, in all these mantras. Otherwise, you take the prana as the pranaha. Prana as the physiological function means all five pranas sustain the entire system. Because of the function of this prana, okay, because of these physiological functions alone, sense powers function, powers of organs of actions function, mind functions, intellect functions, antakaran as a whole functions, and even physical body is alive, all activities are possible because of the pranaha. So five pranas sustain the body, mind, sense complex. Now giving energy, supplying energy, prana sustain. That's why prana is said to be prathamaha, we saw earlier. But that prana itself, that prana does not sustain the Atma. Prana which sustains the material aspects of the individual. Prana sustains, prana being itself being material product. The prana involved in fivefold functions sustain, maintain, energize the entire body, mind, sense complex. But the same prana is able to sustain, prana is able to enliven the body, mind, sense complex, energize the body, mind, sense complex because of the blessing of Atma. But prana itself is sustained by the Atma. So, yena pranaha praniyate, it's Atma because of whose presence, the presence of Atma itself is blessing. What is blessing? Presence of Atma itself is blessing. So, presence of Atma alone, the pranaha is sustained. The prana, the sustainer of body, mind, and complex, cannot sustain the Atma because prana itself is sustained by the Atma. And that Pratyagatma, that all-pervasive abstract reality obtaining as the innermost self of every being, available for recognition as the very truth of I, is in fact Brahma. Tvam Vidhi, may you understand. Not any object which people worship. Brahman is not any object which people worship or people meditate on. So here, see, you in waking state, you know you are. When you know you are, you know your body is. You are aware of your own existence. You're aware of your existence of your body. You're aware of existence of your mind. You're aware of existence of your sense organs. You're aware of existence of your hunger and thirst, everything. And when you're walking, when you're involved in the act of walking, are you aware of the action or not? Are you with your action or not? You are very much with your action. When you're walking along with somebody, you're talking to somebody, are you aware of your talking or not? You're aware of why you're talking. So simultaneously, you're aware of your walking as well as your talking. So you are very much present in your act of walking. You are very much present in your act of talking. And you are also aware of the other person's walking, other action, other person's talking. And you're also, as you're walking, you're talking, you're also listening to other person's talking. So you're aware, you are with your walking, you are with your talking, you are with your listening, you are with your hearing, you're also simultaneously with seeing what is in front of you, what is behind you, because you don't want to dash. Crash with, isn't it? You're aware. You are with every action. Which action, which function you are not associated with, you are present. And talking is different, walking is different, listening is different, seeing is different. Different functions, different actions, but you are with everything. And that you, who is invariably present in all the varied functions and actions, are, you are Atma, you are the abstract reality, Chit, Chaitanyam. And you, the Chit, are actually Sat, the existence of the whole, implied by the term Brahma. Okay? Reality is of the nature of existence and reality is of the nature of consciousness. Okay? And that Brahma, yesterday I explained with reference to Brahma, three important things I have to make it clear. One thing we saw, the very meaning of the word Brahman is that which is limitlessly big. So reality is of the nature of limitlessness, free from time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation, therefore implied by the term Brahma, we understood. And reality is also one indivisible, partless whole, because therefore it is free from all threefold bhedas, vijatiya bhedaha, sugata bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha. And one more thing, Shastram presents, this reality is always presented as the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of the universe. Vivarta Upadana Karanam, Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam. What is Upadana Karanam? Material cause. Nimitta Karanam, intelligent cause. Brahman is not any cause. Brahman is not the Karanam, but not the effect. We understood. But the cause is Brahma, the effect is also Brahma. From the standpoint of the entire universe, the material cause of the universe is reality. The intelligent cause of the universe also is reality. What is Upadana is one aspect we have to understand. That which is big means, see, without the cause, effect cannot exist at all independently. Any effect can exist only in the presence of the effect, the cause. There cannot be part, a form, name, a purpose served by the form part is not possible without the cause, the clay by which it is made of. So existence of cause is the existence of the effect. With reference to pot, the clay is the material cause. With reference to table, wood is material cause. With reference to ornaments, gold is material cause. Without the gold, ornaments cannot exist independently. In fact, matter, material cause alone is in the form of effect. Cause alone is in the form of effect. You cannot separate. Where the effect is, there definitely cause is in the form of the effect. Is it clear? Karanam, karyam. Between cause and effect, karana karya sambandha. Cause-effect relationship. You see. But now, the material cause in Sanskritam is known as upadana karanam. But the gold being inert, it cannot become an ornament, a chain or a bangle by itself. Even a wood cannot become a table by itself. A ball of clay cannot jump and become by itself a pot. If the clay has to be converted into a pot to serve a purpose, you know, if the wood has to become a piece of wood which is there, lying there somewhere in the corner of some place. But for it to become a useful, okay, a table which has a table, a form, and which noted by a word a table, which serves a given purpose. Every product serves a given purpose. Even gold by itself cannot become a gold biscuit. Cannot be used. When it is converted into ornaments, they serve a purpose. Which means, for this inert matter, material, to be converted into useful, you know, objects, naturally it must be touched by an intelligent being who has the knowledge, who has the jnanam. So the intelligent, where the knowledge of how to convert the piece of wood into a useful, beautiful furniture, a table, a chair. So the goldsmith who has the knowledge of converting this gold into a beautiful ornament. So knowledge of the carpenter. The knowledge obtaining in the thought in the carpenter, how to convert this, how to work on it. And that knowledge and the skill is intelligent cause. Intelligent cause. The carpenter's knowledge is intelligent cause. The pot makers, how to make this pot, there's a skill is involved. And also knowledge, how to do it. That knowledge is intelligent cause. So if you take any product for that matter, even if you take a table, and we only bought this table from the local shop, IKEA somewhere. You do not know who was the maker, who exactly, which was the carpenter who made it. You do not know. Just went, you paid, you liked the design, you liked the table, you bought it. But even if you brought it, you can see two causes are inseparably manifest in that effect called table. What is there? In the form, name and function, the purpose served by the table, there is very much the wood. Wood is inseparably present in that form table. Wood is material cause, upadana karanam. You do not see the carpenter near the table. You don't even know who the carpenter is. But still, his skill, his knowledge is very much appreciated in the very product table. Can you separate the knowledge and skill of the carpenter and the table, and the wood from that product called table? Can you separate? You don't see the carpenter, but still you can understand. You can see the carpenter's knowledge is manifest in the table. The person who made must be really very intelligent person. He knows how to make it. It's very nice. You see, you appreciate his knowledge manifest in the product. You appreciate his skill manifest in that product. And you also see what? The wood in the very table. So knowledge and skill of the carpenter is manifest in the creation called table. And also the wood, which is material cause, also is inseparably with the table. So intelligent and material causes cannot be separated. Can you separate? Separate. You can't separate. So this is what is also said, Prakritihi and Purushaha. Material cause is looked upon as Prakriti, intelligent cause is Purushaha, and not the male and female, okay? Don't take it that way. Intelligent and material causes are inseparable. The knowledge manifest is what? Manifestation of knowledge. The carpenter's knowledge. So always the two causes are inseparably present in every creation, in every product. Similarly, with reference to this whole cosmos, also there is material cause and the intelligent cause. When you look at this, the two inseparable causes, you see everything. Everything you see, every form, name and function is what? Inseparable from its material cause. And you also appreciate the knowledge being manifest. You see this flower, you only see the flower is matter. What is the matter is inseparable from every petal. But the knowledge, you don't see through physical eyes, but knowledge is manifest. The knowledge, skill and this matter, material, inseparably in the entire creation. When you look at this, who is the material cause? What is the intelligent cause? Both the causes, from the standpoint of the universe, both the causes are Brahma. When you look at Brahman, the reality, the formless, abstract, all-pervasive reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is pure knowledge, consciousness itself, implied by the term Brahman, is the intelligent cause of the universe, material cause of the universe. Look at Brahman as these two causes, you attribute Ishvara's status to the reality. Is it clear? So Ishvaraha, the Lord, is just a status, qualification attributed to reality implied by the term Brahma. From the standpoint of the universe, when you look at the reality as the intelligent and material causes of the universe, And in everywhere you can see the both the causes are inseparably together. Okay? How they're inseparable? Vagarthau iva. Just as word and its meaning are inseparable. You cannot separate the word table and the object, the meaning table. Word and its meaning are never separated, separable, inseparable. So here, these two causes are inseparably together in the form of the whole cosmos, the whole creation, the entire universe. Therefore, like what? Like a word and its meaning. The very famous, the most popular, well-known verse of Kalidasa, Vagarthaviva Sampruktau Vagartha Pratipattaye Jagatav Pitarav Vande Parvati Parameshwaro. I bow to Lord Parvati and Parameshwara, the parents of this universe, who are inseparably united like the word and its meaning, who alone are manifest as the whole universe. If you look at the material cause as mother, look at the intelligent cause as the father, and the material and intelligent causes are inseparable. Okay? Like how? Inseparably united, like how? Like what? Like word and its meaning. Okay? Therefore, I bow to look at it, Ishvara, as for the father and mother of the whole universe, then you call it Ardhanarishvara, isn't it? One man inseparable with the woman. It is not a man and woman. Both the causes are inseparable. The idea is both these causes are inseparable. And who are you need definitely for any creation, these two causes are important. And these two causes are none other than Brahma. From the standpoint of this universe which is objectified, you look at the reality as the cause, material cause and the intelligent cause, then the Ishvara status is attributed to Brahma. Therefore, it is said always another lakshanam. Yesterday we saw swarupa lakshanam of Brahma. How Brahman is, what Brahman is, what is the Brahman? Brahman is a word which reveals reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. But negating what it is not from everything else. So reality is Brahma. Therefore, another lakshanam is called Tatastha lakshanam, is given in Taittiriya Upanishad. It is reality is that implied by the term Brahman is that from which the whole universe has come into existence, by which the whole universe is sustained, and in which the everything resolves. We can take the example, our own simple ocean, wave, water example, we can take again. Where are these waves originate from? Waves do originate. Waves mean the forms do come into existence. Where do they originate from? Water. And where do they exist? In the water. What are they sustained by? They sustained by water. And where do these waves resolve? Where do they go back and resolve? They come, exist, keep moving, and then they resolve in the same water. So water is the source of origination, source of existence, and the source of resolution also. Is it clear? Now you understand the whole universe also. Man becomes manifest from the reality Brahma, exists in reality Brahma, and again becomes unmanifest in Brahma. Now you know very well, with reference to ocean, water is satyam, the waves are mithya. So origination is mithya, okay, existence is mithya, resolution is also mithya. Satyam is the water. Similarly, with reference to this whole universe, from this reality implied by the term Brahman is pure consciousness, which is of the nature of self-existence. Why consciousness is? why reality is abstract reality, formless reality, imperceptible reality, inconceivable reality, indescribable reality, which is this very source, which is the very substratum, which is the basis, which lends existence for words, sense powers, functions and actions. And that reality, implied by the term Atma, implied by the term Brahma, isn't it, alone is Satyam. And from where this entire universe becomes manifest and enjoys existence in Brahma, and the universe becomes unmanifest also in Brahma. Therefore, manifestation is mithya, becoming unmanifest is mithya, its existence also is mithya. In fact, really speaking, the world is, when it is existent also it is mithya. What is Satyam? What is that which is always there, without coming, without going, without becoming manifest, without becoming unmanifest? That which is there as the very substratum, very adhara, adhishtanam for this manifesting, manifest universe, and for the universe to become unmanifest, always it is there as the substratum. Like water is the substratum for the forms, names and functions called waves to originate, to remain and to resolve. For this whole jagat, for time, for space, for all the living creatures, non-living beings and their functions, their actions, the laws, the experiences of pairs of opposites, everything is mithya, which comes into existence, exists in Brahma, resolves in Brahma. Okay? But Brahma doesn't come and go. There's no real creation. There's no real origination. There's no real destruction. There's no real resolution. It is not unreal also. Neither unreal nor real. What is this creation then? Mithya. What is its becoming manifest is mithya. What is its existence is mithya. What about its resolution? It is mithya. Mithya means it's seemingly real, not absolutely real. And what is absolutely real? Pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which you arrived at. As Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, Manasaha Manaha, Pranasya Pranaha, as your own Swarupam, that consciousness, that is where I has to be resolved. I sense should be resolved. If that consciousness is the meaning of the word I, content of the word, content of I. Okay? And that consciousness is Brahma. Tadeva, that consciousness which you arrive at as your own Swarupam, is this Brahma, which is the intelligent and material causes of the universe, thereby enjoys the status of being Ishvara. Therefore, you are Ishvara. You are non-separate from the Lord. This is what, this is how you have to see yourself being non-separate from the whole, the Lord. That Brahman is, that is what is Brahma, the truth, not anything you worship, any object you worship. So, any important point I have to remember, the object Brahman, the reality is not absent in the object of worship. Be careful. Worship is very important. Prayer is very important. The object you worship, of course, definitely is non-different from Brahma. The object you worship, non-different from Brahma. Reality's presence in that object is not denied at all. Reality is very much present in that object. In every reality is present in everything. So reality is very much present in that object of worship. The object of worship is non-different from reality. But still, reality is not that one given form, one given object which you worship as, okay, Ishvara. Is it very clear? Now we will move on to the next. And you will also hear another word, Vivartha Upadana Karanam. Vivartha means without undergoing any change. Suppose the what change does the water undergo to become the wave, to exist as wave, and to have the waves resolved in it? Water continues to be the same H2O, retaining its swarupam, becoming something. Is it to be what? Having the status of being the vivartha upadana karanam. I'll give you the example. When you convert the milk, okay, you take the milk, and the milk is the cause, and yogurt is the effect, curd. But milk has undergo change to become yogurt. It has to undergo change. Even something has to go through some processing to become an effect. This is called Parinami Upadana Karanam. If the cause has to undergo change to become an effect, then that cause is called Parinami Upadana Karanam. Parinami Upadana Karanam. Material cause. But without undergoing any change, something becomes an effect. Even the wood has to go through a lot of processing to become a table. Without undergoing any change, retaining its swarupam as it is, something becomes the cause. It is vivartha upadana karanam. So consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Does not undergo any change or whatsoever. But still, it is as good as the cause. Okay? So, vivartha upadana karanam. So, we say, now, previously we learnt, Brahman is neither the manifest nor the unmanifest. Brahman is neither the cause nor the effect. Brahman is neither the known or the unknown. But now we say the cause of the universe is Brahma. What does it mean? From the standpoint of consciousness, consciousness is not the cause, not the effect. Neither the cause nor the effect. From the standpoint of the cause and the effect, the universe, the cause is Brahma, effect also is Brahma. It's like what? Water is not the wave. Water is not the stillness. Water is not the waves. Water is not the stillness. Water is not the waves. But water is distinct from stillness and waves. Even though stillness and waves are non-different from water. Do you get it? Stillness is stillness of water, if we take it. Stillness is non-different from water. Waves are non-different from water. But waves are non-different from water. But water is neither the waves nor the stillness. Water is distinct from stillness and waves. Is it clear? Similarly here, the abstract, formless reality which you arrive at as your own swarupam, as essential, your own essential nature, and the content of I, in terms of consciousness or pure knowledge, is neither the cause nor the effect. But the cause is Atma, effect also is Atma. Is it clear? From which standpoint you have to see? The standpoint of why? Because cause or effect does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore we say what? Cause is Atma. Effect also is Atma. But Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Atma used as Brahma. Is it clear? And that Brahma you are. You are that Brahma. And how do you arrive at it? As the truth of Sarupam of the knower. Sarupam of the subject of knowledge. Okay, with this, the first section is over. Dvitiyaha Khandaha. Now, the class is over. The teacher, actually it seems second chapter is presented as though the teacher wanted to have some test. Whether the students have heard the teaching properly, or really they have understood or not, isn't it? The teacher wanted to examine as if that, well, what does it mean? What does it mean here? The teacher wants the students to be convinced of the fact which has been already revealed, conveyed. Aham Brahma Asmi, Tadevat Brahmatvam Vidhi, you are the truth which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma, which alone is looked upon as the Ishvara, which alone is looked upon as the cause, and everything is the Brahma. You are that Brahma means you are expected to drag your essence from the tiny little body, mind, sense complex to the abstract consciousness. Isn't it? So, the teacher wants you to be convinced of the fact which you have understood, what has been communicated. So look at this now. Shankaracharya, in his introduction, he says, evam heya upadeya viparitaha tu atma brahma. Iti pratyayitaha sishyaha ahameva brahma iti shushtu veda. Aham iti magrinniyat. Iti ashayat aha acharyaha sishya buddhi vichalanartham. Now, in the introduction, sishya buddhi vichalanartham, to shake and see how firm is his understanding. The teacher wants to check whether his understanding is firm or still doubtful. Vichalanam means moving, isn't it? Sishya buddhi vichalanartham. Check whether how firm is his understanding. See, when the knowledge of the self takes place, very important, please listen, this is the second khanda, the second section, is amazing section, which will knock off all wrong notions you have. There are only 5 mantras in this, okay? Second section also is equally important, very important. In fact, you are going to have correct mantras from this section only. Because a lot of false ideas, conceptions, especially people who still want to have experience, spiritual experience. Because many people have this problem. I go to classes, attend Vedanta classes for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 35 years. No, 50, 60 years I've been listening to the teaching. No, I have understood everything intellectually. There's intellectual understanding. There's some other physical understanding or what? Understanding is intellectual. Pooja Swami used to say, this is mental knowledge. Like that. Why I'm saying? Knowledge is intellectual. Knowledge has to take place only in the buddhi. Not in, anywhere else. So, no, it is, if you say intellectual knowledge, it's exaggeration. isn't it? You don't need to sell it. Knowledge is intellectual. I still remember his expressions because it makes me always very humorous to drive home some very subtle point, isn't it? Very humorous teacher. Anyway, I cannot just miss him. I miss him when I see his the communication, the teaching. Because to make somebody know, there's no dental knowledge or physical knowledge. Knowledge means intellectual, to say that. Anyway, so what I'm saying, after knowledge, people want to have some experience. Logically, I've understood everything, but now I have to experience that. So, meditation, they think, is for experiencing something. And something has to happen, some flash of light. Something, they have to see something supernatural. People have a lot of ideas. I'm not saying it's wrong on their part. It is lack of understanding. It is natural for people to think, to have such ideas and views. And these five mantras are actually to knock off all those wrong thinking, okay, and misconceptions, definitely. That is why I am not saying, Shankara Bhagavatpada himself says in the very beginning, as introduction to this whole teaching, he says, Evam heya upadeya viparitaha tu atma brahma iti pratyayataha sishyaha. Now, when the person has understood, oh, Atma is that which is distinct from both known and the unknown, acceptable and non-acceptable, and that Atma aham, ahameva Atma, ahameva Brahma iti, when he first understands what he says, now I know Brahma. Aham sushtu veda Brahma. See, there's difference in two statements. Aham Brahma, I am Brahman, I myself am the reality, and I know the reality. There's difference in these two statements. The student, after having heard, oh, I am Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. Because the Soma terms repeatedly he was told, Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi, Tadevatvam Brahmatvam Vidhi, you are that Brahma. It has been made very clear. So now he may have this understanding, Aham Brahma Asmi, but what he will think, I know Brahman very well. Please listen to this statement, I know Brahman very well. I know. I am Brahma Asmi, I know Brahman very well. Iti Ma Grinniyat. The student should not hold on to this notion, thinking that I know Brahman very well. Aham Brahma Asmi, I have understood very well, I know Brahman very well. Aham Brahma Sushtu Veda Iti Ma Grinniyat. My God, he should not. If he says, Aham, I know Brahman very well, he has already objectified Brahma. So objectified Brahma means he does not see himself as Brahma. Still this duality is there. Still there is error. There's no clear vision. Some understanding has gone and still confusion is there. So, Ma Grinni, Aham Sushtu Veda, no, Sushtu Veda Aham Brahma, Iti Ma Grinniyat, Iti Ashayat. With this intention of not, intention that students should not hold on to this wrong understanding, that I know Brahman very well means, he objectifies Brahman in that expression. So, Acharya, Sishya Buddhi Vichalanartham. The teacher, to stabilize, to correct, thereby to correct his, to make his understanding firm, clear understanding firm, to remove his misconception, if at all he has, the teacher now continues to teach. last, okay? Let us see the first mantra. Yadi manyase.
Yadi manyase.
Suveda iti.
Suveda iti.
Yadi manyase.
Yadi manyase.
Suveda.
Suveda
iti.
Iti.
Dahara meva. Api.
Api.
Nunam.
Nunam.
Tvam vetha,
brahmanaha rupam.
Look at this. Yadi manyase,
suveda,
iti, daharamevapi,
nunam,
tvam vetha, brahmano rupam. Yad asya tvam yad asya cha deveshu yadasya tvam yadasya cha deveshu atha nu mimagunsyameva te manye viditam. See, the last expression, manye viditam, is a student's reply. Manye viditam is an expression of the student. Until then, yadi manyase onwards, until then what? Teacher's expression. The teacher tells, okay, the teaching has been given, the nature of reality, Brahma, has been unfolded, you have all grasped the teaching. Now, the teacher tells, yadi manyase. He addresses every, because manyase is a singular verb. So he sees all his students and he addresses every one of them. Manyase, if, yadi is an indeclinable word which means if. Yadi manyase, if you think. If you entertain this notion, if you think, what do you think? Suveda iti. If you think the iti, that. If you think that, Suveda, you know Brahman very well. Veda means know. Suveda, very well. I have no doubt or whatsoever. I know Brahman very well. Why? All 9 mantras I have heard before. 8 mantras I have heard before. Everything has been clean, unfolded. Aham Brahmasmi. I know Brahman very well. See, Aham Brahmasmi. I know Brahman very well. You know what happens? Aham Brahmasmi. I know Brahman very well. This identity, I sense, is identified with the intellect. I know Brahman very well means what? I slips down from consciousness to intellect. Isn't it? So teacher says, if you think that you know Brahman very well. How? It's a direct speech. If you think, I know Brahman very well, comma, inverted comma, I know Brahman very well. Then he says, Nunam indeed. Daharam eva api. Daharam means very little. Daharam is another word, is also there, dabram. There's another expression also is there. Two expressions, two versions are there. you know very little. How do you know? Daharameva, very little alone. Tvam vetha, you know. Tvam, you, vetha, know. Tvam daharameva vetha. You know very little of what? Brahmanaha rupam. You know very little of the nature of reality. You know very little of nature of reality means you do not know reality. Okay? You do not know. Still you have not. It is still the teaching has not yet been grasped properly. You know very little of the nature of reality. He says, if you think I know Brahman very well, that means you know very little of the nature of reality. And the reality which obtains in you, which obtains in all these beings, which obtains even in all devatas. Yadu asya. Asya? Which obtains in everything here. Asya cha. Asya cha deveshu. That reality which obtains in all the beings here, which obtains in you, which obtains in all the devatas, all the devas. You understand that reality, the nature of that reality very little. Which means your understanding is not firm. Very clear. Then very clear means what you should do? Mimamsyam eva te. Mimamsyam is against a passive expression. Okay? It's a link, potential mode. Potential passive. Verb that is. Mimamsyam should be inquired into. It means you should not stop enquiry. You have to do further enquiry. See, mimamsa, I told you. Mimamsate means wants to enquire. And a mimamsam should be enquired. Means the nature of reality should be enquired into again. Again, nature of reality must be enquired. It must be analyzed. The verb is given passive voice to emphasize. You must definitely enquire into the nature of reality again. You must analyze the nature of reality again. Why? When you are confused, you must continue your analysis. You must again enquire. How long should you be enquiring? Until your clarity dawns. Until any misconception goes. Okay? That is why we never say how long one should study Vedanta. See, Vedanta study is actually enquiry into the nature of reality. Study itself enquiry into the nature of reality. Enquiry into the nature of reality means enquiry into the nature of yourself. Atma swarupa vicharaha eva Vedanta adhyayanam. Not independently. Keeping Veda Shastram, isn't it? And you enquire into your own essential nature. Swarupa vicharaha. Atma swarupa vicharaha, vastu swarupa vicharaha. So mimamsameva, you should enquire into the nature of reality. Mimamsameva means the nature of reality must be enquired into, analyzed by you again. Why? If you think that you are Brahma and you know Brahman very well. Which means your understanding is very little. Teacher is telling, didn't want to upset him. So he says, you know very, your understanding of nature of reality is very little, means you do not know anything. Isn't it? See, after jnanam, I have to contemplate, meditate, and as a result of meditation, I'm going to have some special experience. All these problems will be, people have their own different views. That's why I really like this particular portion of the five mantras. Very good. Everything, all wrong concepts, misconceptions should go. So the teacher says, so you also want to say, what is the reality which obtains in all the beings, in you and all the devas. I know the Brahma. Okay. Now, when the teacher said, all these students, should they express whether I have understood Brahman or not? Should I expose my ignorance? Should I expose my understanding? They all thinking. And one student was the boldest student, bravest student, and intelligent student. Is it? Manye viditam. He used passive voice. Didn't say, I know. I think, understood. Expression, exactly viditam means passive participle. I think, understood. Teaching has been understood. Teaching has been grasped. Which means, whatever you taught has been correctly understood. In what you taught? Brahman. Brahman has been understood. When he said Brahman has been understood, change to active voice sentence. I have understood Brahman. Isn't it? That's the meaning. But he did not want the teacher to think that he knows very little. Immediately, he presents. He makes the meaning of what he said. He clarifies what he said in the first mantra, in the second mantra. The second mantra is clarification of the student of what he expressed in the first mantra as the line. Viditam manye. I think the teaching has been understood. Means what has been communicated has been clearly grasped. So Brahman has been understood by me. Which means I have understood Brahman. But just now the teacher said, if you say you know Brahman, you know very little. So he did not want the teacher to think that he has not understood. So immediately, he is also a very intelligent teacher. So intelligent student now gives the answer. Okay? See, next mantra. We have to go to the next mantra. Naham manye suveda iti. So he says, na aham manye suveda iti. No na veda vedeti. No na vedeti. Veda cha. Yo nastadveda. Tadveda. No na vedeti veda cha. You have to memorize this mantra, okay? நாஹம் மன்யே சுவேதேதி. நோ ந வேதேதி வேதச்ச. யோ நஸ்தத்வேத தத்வேத. யோ நஸ்தத்வேத தத்வேத. நோ ந வேதேதி வேதச்ச. When he said viditam manye, I think the teaching has been understood by me. When he said, and he continues, na aham manye suveda iti. O teacher, when I say teaching has been grasped, what has been communicated has been grasped, understood very well, what I mean, listen to me. Na aham manye suveda iti. I do not say, I do not think I know very well. I do not think I know very well. I do not say I know Brahman very well. I do not say. Okay, when he says, na aham manye, I do not think I know very well. See, the words are not, a lot of words are not there. We have to supply to get the complete sense. It's not that like regular proper verses like Bhagavad Gita or anywhere else. Na aham manye suveda iti. Suveda, I know very well iti aham na manye. I do not think I know very well, which means I do not say I know Brahman very well. Then nona vedeti vedacha. Nona vedeti. Nona vedeti means what? Nor do I say I do not know Brahman. I do not say I know Brahman. Nor do I say I do not know Brahman. What does he say? I do not say I know Brahman. Well, I do not say I do not know Brahman. So when he says, I do not say I know Brahman, he says, Brahman is not object of knowledge for me. When he says, I do not say I do not know Brahman, for him Brahman is not object of ignorance. Brahman for him is neither the known nor the unknown. He's also very clever. How he gives us, I do not say I know Brahman. I do not say I do not know Brahman, which means for me Brahman is neither an object of knowledge nor object of ignorance. Brahman is neither the known nor unknown for me. Okay, if you say I know, Brahman becomes object of knowledge. If you say I do not know Brahman, also is a problem. Then Brahman becomes object of my ignorance. Isn't it? And the teacher will think he hasn't understood also. But he has to make teacher understand he has understood. The teacher wants to know whether the student has understood. And the student wants to make the teacher understand that he has understood. The student has to take effort now to make the teacher understand that he has understood. So he has to be exact, how can he make the teacher understand he has understood? So he says, suveda na aham manye suveda iti. I do not think I know very well Brahman. No na veda. Na veda. Nor. No. I do not think I do not know Brahman. Which means he already made very clear. Brahman for me is not an object of knowledge not an object of ignorance also. In fact, Brahman is not an object at all for me. Okay. If I say, what does it mean then? But still, Vedacha. Vedacha. That does not mean I do not know. Okay? That does not mean I have not understood. Vedacha. I do know. But how do... Okay? I do not know. I do not say I do not know. I do not say I know. But I do know. The last Vedacha. See that? The last Vedacha. The first line. Na aham manye suvedayiti. Then, no na veda, vedeti. Afterward, what is this? Vedacha. That Vedacha means, I do know Brahman. But how does he make it very clear? That Vedacha reveals, conveys three different facts. Not different facts, three important meanings it conveys. Vedacha. Conveys actually, I do understand Brahman not as an object but as something other than the known and the unknown. That one word Vedacha conveys what? I do understand Brahman not as an object but as something other than the known and the unknown. Something other than the known and the unknown. Which means, when he says that what is conveyed by that Veda, if simply the student said, I know Brahman, aham Veda, there would be no problem. So he starts like this. First he said, understood by me. Then he says, I do not think I know Brahman very well. I do not think that I do not know Brahman at all. Brahman is not subject or object, not an object of my knowledge or object of ignorance for me. Brahman is not at all an object for me. But I know Brahman very well. I do understand Brahman very well. Not as an object, but as something other than known and unknown. So what is next meaning? I do understand Brahman as something other than known and unknown means, I do understand Brahman as the swarupam of the knower, as the very knower. Understand Brahman as not as a object but as the subject, as the very swarupam of the knower. And second thing, I understand Brahman, third meaning is what? I understand Brahman not as an object but as the subject, as the very swarupam of the knower means, I take ownership of Brahman as myself. It means what? I claim Brahman as myself. As the swarupam of knower means, whenever we understand, I understand Brahman as the very swarupam of the knower means, I understand Brahman as myself, non-different from me, my own real nature. Is it clear? That's what is implied by that last expression, Vedacha. Na aham manye suvedaiti. No na vedeti vedacha. I do understand how not as an object but as something other than the known and the unknown. Something other than the known and the unknown means something, I understand Brahman as the very knower, swarupam of the knower, which means I do understand Brahman as myself. Very important. Why? Because Brahman is not even subject. Brahman is not the object. Brahman obtains as the subject. Brahman is available as the subject for recognition. Once you recognize the Swarupa of the knower, then you have to resolve the knower also in the very, knower status in the very Brahman. Is it clear? Then, now second sentence he says, Yo nas tadveda.
Yo nas tadveda.
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 Yaha naha tadveda. Now, yaha, whoever. Yaha is a relative pronoun. Whoever, whichever student. Yaha means whoever. He talks for his own student, classmates. Naha means asmasu. Okay? Among all our classmates, all my friends who are the classmates, all of us, naha, asmasu, yaha tadveda. Tadveda, in our class, among us, all the students, whoever has understood my expression, what I have expressed. What is that? Naham manyes vedeti, no na vedeti, ved, okay? No na vedeti vedacha. No, next sentence, na? No na vedeti vedeti vedacha. See the next line? No na vedeti vedacha. I do not say, I do not know Brahman. But I do know Brahman. Okay? What is conveyed by his expression? If any of my classmates, whoever has understood my expression, he also has understood the teaching. If somebody has understood my expression, he also has understood the teaching. He himself says, if somebody did not understand what I convey, which means he has not understood the teaching. He also gives clue for other friends. If any of my classmates disagree with what I say, or they don't understand what I'm saying, they also do not have understanding. If they have understood what my expression, nona vedeti vedacha, which means that person who has understood my expression also has understood the teaching very well. Grasped Brahman. Isn't it? This is the very ingenious answer. Yaha naha tadveda. Tadveda. No na vedeti vedacha. Does not give the answer directly. The teacher started his answer indirectly. And the student gives his replies also what? Indirectly. Yeah, I know Brahman. He didn't say that. He wanted to make his teacher understand that he has understood the teaching. Now, next. No, where to start? Where? No? Got the whole thing correctly? Okay. Now what happens? Teacher is very happy with the student. I'm not saying. Shankaracharya says, Sishya Acharya Samvada Samvadat. Now, the teacher's, there's a dialogue between, the conversation between the teacher and the student. Teacher asked, all the students were keeping quiet. This one intelligent student alone answered, and the way he answered, he made the teacher understand how clear the student was. The student revealed his clarity of vision, which means the Shastra's vision, which was in the mind of the teacher as teacher's vision of the truth, now got transferred to the head of the student, and our student also has got the same vision. Teacher's vision, Shastra's vision, student's vision is one and the same. there is no contradiction. Okay, which means clear vision. The teacher is happy, the student is happy. After saying this, teacher cannot talk anything. Student also has to stop his communication. Both communications, teacher's speech became stopped, student's communication also stopped. Now both of them have to go away. Now Upanishad says, teacher is not speaking, student is not speaking, let me speak. Now in the third mantra, Upanishad wants to summarize. Upanishad summarizes the content of the dialogue. Summarizes means elaborates on the dialogue, the content of the dialogue. Okay, in this mantra, if you say, Upanishad itself conveys how unique the self-knowledge is. It means Upanishad itself reveals the uniqueness of the self-knowledge. Using paradoxical language. Okay. Yasya matam.
Tasya matam.
Matam yasya.
Na vedasaha.
Avijñātam.
Vijānatām.
Vijñātam.
Avijānatām.
Yasya amatam tasya matam. For whom truth is not known, truth is unknown, for him truth is known. The person for whom truth is not an object of knowledge, for him the truth is known. Yasya amatam means unknown, not an object of knowledge. For him the truth is known. Matam yasya na saha veda. For the person for whom truth is known, truth is an object of knowledge, for him he does not know the truth. It's called paradoxical. The person for whom truth is an object, truth is not an object of knowledge, for him truth is known. For the person for whom the truth is object of knowledge, for him truth is not known. As I said, Upanishad summarizes. They both have gone, but summarizes. If the truth is object of knowledge for a given person, he does not know the truth. The truth is not an object of knowledge, for him the truth is known. Avijñātam vijānatām, same thing. Truth is unknown for those who know the truth. Vijñātam avijānatām, truth is known for those who do not know the truth. Truth is known for those who do not know the truth. This is called paradoxical. We'll come back and see.
Please introduce the mantra, we'll see.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. May Bhagavan Paramatma bless all of us with a clear understanding of teaching. May all of us be able to say Naham Manyesu Vedeti Naham Nona Vedeti Vedacha Nona Vedeti Vedacha Yonas Tadveda Tadveda Nona Vedeti Vedacha. That Vedacha, what it conveys is important. When he says, the student says, after explaining clearly, I do not know, I know. I don't say I know the Atma, I don't say I do not know the truth, but still I know. When he says, what he says is, I know the truth, not as an object, unknown or the known, but as the very Swarupam of the knower. And I know the truth as myself. No questions? If you don't think any questions, okay, no problem. None at must you should ask questions. Sometimes clarity comes later on also. But if you feel like asking, please feel free to ask. Yeah.
My question is, the inquiry is done with the mind, the intellect, and then eventually this identity is resolved.
Yeah, inquiry, of course intellect is involved in inquiry, but not independently, with the aid of Shastram. Intellect by itself is not involved in inquiry. Of course, intellect is involved, but not independently, along with the aid of Shastra, Pramanam. I told you the day, the truth has to be arrived at only as you, your own nature. In fact, you are the truth. When you yourself are the truth, and the truth has to arrive at as your own Swarupam, and you are the one who wants to know also. You are the one, the knower, you are the knower, and you are the one to be known. Therefore, when the knower and the known being one and the same, usually in other fields, you are the knower, the known is something different from you, other than you. Then you other pramanams are used, then the truth becomes that what is known is object of knowledge. What is known using other pramanams is actually the object of thought. But here what is to be known is not the object of thought, but the very truth of the thought. Swarupam of the thought. What is that because of the presence of which, blessing of which, the intellect is capable of knowing? So, the object to be known, what is to be known here, is the very Swarupam of the thought, Swarupam of the intellect, not object of intellect. Therefore, Shastra Pramanam is important. Clear? One thing I said. Even I also mentioned this. To see something minute, you have to use your eyes. To see anything, you have to use your eyes. But some, I say, if you have, what is this color, you know, you can easily say. Very, you can say because it's enough. Your eyes are enough. But you have to check something very minute. which cannot be seen, where your eyes do not have, cannot reach that, then you use extra, you need additional support of a microscope. So your eyes should have the aid of microscope to have also something minute. Without your eyes also, microscope will be of no use. If you are blind, microscope doesn't have any meaning, make any sense. At the same time, without microscope, your eyes are inadequate to have knowledge of the microbe. Similarly, your intellect, of course, is very capable. But your intellect needs the aid of Shastra Pramanam. You have to see, intellect has to see through the Shastra's eye, your own Swarupa. Is it clear? Intellect is involved. The whole teaching is actually the idea, people who are all interested in experience. Isn't it? Mainly this teaching will really help you understand we should not, need not wait for any experience. Understand the teaching and assimilate by contemplation. Contemplation itself is not for experience. Meditation is not for experience here. Meditation, it is contemplation which is only for already understood fact, it's only for enhancement of your clarity. How far should enhance? Oh, don't need to and more. This become very clear for you. No doubt, unshakable, that's where contemplation ends. It's clear. No experience. Anyway, that is something very, because we're so, our orientation is so much in objectifying, everything objectifying. Natural, very natural. There's a mind problem of the mind. It's not about you, not about anybody else, one person. The natural problem of the human mind is extroverted. Orientation is only in objectifying everything. And so the same problem will continue here also. Study everything, everything is understood. People do come and tell, not me, because Pujya Swamiji used to tell some satsangs. People after studying for so long, they come and say, sometimes he say, it's not a great thing for a teacher to listen to the student like that. Still want experience? The teaching has to be understood clearly. It is all cognitive shift. Have you answered your question? Have I understood your question, first of all? Sometimes I give some answer without even understanding what the teacher student asked. I want to make sure. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. See, Kenopanishad is good to remember the teachings, section by section. This section what it has, this section what it has. Be good in the mantras. Anyway, I try to bring in everything, whatever Shankara says. I don't leave it. Only I don't read the mantras, Bhashyam itself, as much as possible.